Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hoping you're having an absolutely spectacular day. Unless, of course, you're a Seahawk fan who woke up to a large kick in the junk. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show, and we're broadcasting live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. When you switch to Farmers, you could save a bundle. All you have to do is call 888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Adam Schefter reports that Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade, his agent Mark Rogers said. Wilson has told the Seahawks he wants to play in Seattle, but if he were traded, the only teams he would consider to go to are the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, the Bears. He has a no-trade clause, so Wilson does hold all the cards. Yes. Wilson does not hold all the cards. That is an agent tweet text to Schefter. Wilson holds all the cards. This is the most important thing I'm going to tell you, which most of you know and none of us do, which is read the fine print. Read the fine print. It's one of those things that it's a reason that I am a proponent of having athletes sit out for a year when they transfer. It's the same reason, the fine print. Because what you learn as an adult is contracts do matter. The truth about contracts is that you actually don't even have to have a written contract in order for it to be legally binding. It's true. Some states, of course, you have common law marriage. You don't have to be married. Doesn't have to be a marital contract based upon how long you've lived together. It's common law. Again, that depends upon state. But an orally agreed to contract is a legally binding contract in the United States. In most states, it all depends upon legalities and the discussion. Not even doesn't have to be recorded. Just two people have a conversation, agree to terms, that becomes a binding contract. That's the old word is your bond. But a written contract is just that. Now, there are exceptions to it. For example, if you ever go somewhere and you have to sign a waiver, right? I got to sign a waiver to go get on that roller coaster. Just so you know, if the roller coaster isn't properly maintained and something, God forbid, happens, you're stuck up there for 5 hours, you can sue despite your waiver. Doesn't really protect people. It gives you the false sense that it does. But contracts between two parties, they're binding. They matter. It's why you have a buyout in a coach's contract. It's why you have to sit out a year when you transfer, because there's that fine print. Hell, how many of you have recently updated your phone and it pops up the update, like you got to agree to terms, like, yep, yep, yep. You're not even reading, you don't even know. Credit cards, perfect example. What's your rate on your credit card? Like, well, it doesn't matter. And for me, like, we try to not carry a balance. We try not put so much on the card that we carry a balance. Because if you carry a balance, all of a sudden, like, well, you know, I have 0.9% financing. Yeah, that's for your first 6 months. After that, bet it spikes up to about 18 or 21, depending upon the credit card, depending upon the state you live in. All right. So here's the news to the quarterbacks who think they hold the power. I hold the power. Hey, bro, we signed you to the biggest deal in the sport. And the fine print is we can't trade you. We can't cut you because you have this massive cap hit. Right? And while you might say, well, you know, why don't you wait till after June 1st? After June 1st, okay, it's only $13 million against the cap, dead cap, as opposed to $39 million before June 1st. But if you're trading Russell Wilson, first, you're giving up on a superstar quarterback, which nobody does. Second, he's in his prime and he's under contract, which nobody does. Third, You're going to want to do it before the draft so you can draft his potential replacement. So you're not going to wait till after the draft, which is what June 1st is. The problem with so many of these quarterbacks is in their desire to get paid. I want to get paid. Okay. I want the new iPhone. I want the update. Okay. You got to sign the terms. You want a credit card? You got to check the terms. Because the terms say, hey, dude, you may not love it, but this is where you're going to play. Sorry. This is where you're going to play. Of course, some of this stems from, as he discussed on Dan Patrick, and look, I'm going to credit two people. Cowherd had this a year ago that Russell wasn't down for the plan, and Dan Patrick brought it out of Russell Wilson with his interview. They're two of the best. They're both only on Fox Sports Radio. Before the Thursday night game against Arizona, Wilson met with his coaches. For some time, Wilson has sought to, this is from The Athletic, sought to have influence within the organization regarding scheme and personnel. In the meeting, he outlined his own ideas on how to fix the offense. His suggestions were dismissed. Another reminder to Wilson that the Seahawks did not see him the same way he saw himself, as a player who earned greater control over his situation, his future, his legacy. He stormed out of the room. The Super Bowl this year was a trigger. Told you. Wilson flew to Tampa and watched the game in the suite next to the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, and as Tom Brady battled Pat Mahomes on the field, Wilson seethed. During the game, he texted Jake Heaps, his former teammate and private quarterback coach, to vent about watching the game instead of playing in it. Wilson later spoke with Carroll, according to a source, to talk about the way the Seahawks addressed the offensive line, an issue that had bothered Wilson for years. He wanted to know the team's plan, but it wasn't relayed to him, at least not to Wilson's satisfaction, the source said. Carroll implored him to have faith. But after the Super Bowl, Wilson took his message public on the Dan Patrick Show. Look, he watched Antonio Brown, who I'm sure he thought he could have handed on a silver platter to the Seahawks, and they were like, can't take him. Sorry, can't have him. We can't have that problem in our locker room. Dude, we know you want to fix the offensive line. We all want to fix the offensive line. We realize, do you know what we don't need? Is we don't need the peanut gallery telling us to fix the offensive line. Let us fix the offensive line. And oh yeah, by the way, one of the things that's prohibitive about the offensive line is all the money you are making. But I don't blame Russell Wilson for being upset. I don't blame Russell Wilson for being motivated by watching another team have the ticker tape. I don't blame him. But one, calling out your teammates on the Dan Patrick Show and then to local media people, I'm tired of getting hit when you hold the ball a long time and you collect the biggest check. And that's one reason they haven't had the same money to spread around. Like, some of it's you problem. Now, is some of it their coaching? Yes, they changed schemes. And I'm sure that Pete Carroll is not perfect. And John Schneider is not perfect. But I think it's also clever on how many of these quarterbacks sign a long-term contract, which essentially makes them untradeable. Untradeable. So you want me to give you more money than anybody has ever made. And then if you're not happy, you want me to trade you. That only takes your skills from me, but also hurts me in the cap. Where do I sign up for this, Russell? Or I have you under contract and you got to show up to work and I got to figure out how to make it all work. Which do you think is a more likely scenario? Oh, then, and in the list that he has, that's like the list that people try to put together when they're married. Listen, this is my past list. You remember Gina from accounting? Like, it's never going to happen, but if it happened, Gina from accounting. And, you know, Halle Berry on the list, right? Halle Berry. Like, try that with your spouse. Listen, if Halle Berry... So then you're like, hey, hon, what's for dinner? Why don't you have Halle Berry cook you up some dinner? Yeah, that list thing, that ain't going to work. It sounds like a fun thing to do. You're out drinking with some friends like, hey, who's on your list? Oh, man, Gina from accounting's on your list. Well, why don't you let Gina from accounting, why don't you take her out? Russell Wilson, I'm not demanding a trade, but if you trade me, Cowboys would be good.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Call 1-888-FARMERS and you could save on your auto insurance. What else are you going to do with your phone in the next few minutes? Look at photos of things other people ate? Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Oh, this just gets better and better. The Doug Gottlieb Show is live from the Farmers Insurance, Fox Sports Radio Studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance. Here's how the Texans morning has gone. This is from Diana Rossini. She says, Houston continues to avoid conversations with teams in regards to trading Deshaun Watson. They're refusing to trade their franchise quarterback. Dan Graziano reported 4 minutes ago, per sources, Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson met with new Texans head coach David Culley last Friday. In that meeting, Watson reiterated he wants to be traded and told Culley he has no intention of playing for the Texans. No change from Watson's end. He remains dug in. Deshaun Watson tweeted earlier today, "Loyalty is everything. Don't you ever forget it." Yeah. Okay, so here's the funny thing about the loyalty thing. Like, this goes hand in hand with what I discussed with the contract. What these players are saying is the contract matters when I want to get paid, but it doesn't matter when I don't want to play here anymore. And it's the exact same hypocrisy of Deshaun Watson saying, loyalty, like, hey, bro, everything we've done has been to win with you. Everything. Everything we've done has been to win with and for you. Bill O'Brien was an offensive coach. When he worked with Tom Brady, when he worked at Penn State, when he worked with the Texans, he was an offensive coach. And in truth, the marriage did in fact work offensively. And even when he left, people keep talking about, well, DeAndre Hopkins, you know, first, Watson signed the contract after Hopkins was traded. Second, and this is important, the weapons were so bad, it led the league in passing yards. He had a record-setting year for himself. Okay, so they don't have weapons? Like, what is it? Oh, the Laremy Tunsil. Why do you think they drafted Laremy Tunsil or traded for Laremy Tunsil? Because they wanted to protect and support their quarterback. Like, this is... Loyalty works both ways. That's the irony to what he's saying. And the hypocrisy to the, I need a huge contract, but that contract holds no value to me because I'm not happy with the current state of the team. You know? You'll never get enough value back. The dead cap money is huge. The biggest thing is that he's an MVP caliber player at the most important position. 3-1s is laughable. Laughable. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. Okay, let me explain something. The hit rate on first rounders is 53%. So you're going to trade Russell Wilson for 1.5 players that might not even be a quarterback? No way. There is no value, no evaluation to those two guys. Both are MVP caliber players, both are under contract, and there is 3-1s does not do it. And you might be saying, no, you're just radio guy, basketball guy. You know where I got that? That's from an NFL GM. who's like, come on, dude. Well, they could sit out. It's not sitting out. Le'Veon Bell sat out. Well, Le'Veon Bell lost money. Le'Veon Bell was a free agent. Try it. Let's play again. If anything, the Russell Wilson thing, you would say, well, that's like Carson Palmer. Yet the difference is at the time, the Bengals were the laughing stock of the league. After he got hurt, they were the Bungles. And ultimately, he retired, only to come back because they traded him to the Raiders. Right? But that was after he said he wanted change in the organization. This is not that dysfunctional organization. The Seahawks were in the playoffs this year. Of course, Russell Wilson has every right to be motivated and upset. Like, man, our offensive line got to get better. We need more dudes. Like, got it. No doubt. No doubt. But what is really, really important to note is there is no appropriate value for a superstar quarterback. And people who say, well, you got to have three ones, they don't understand. Hit rate on free agents is 33%. Hit rate on first round picks is 53%. That's a league stat that everybody knows. So you think these coaches are sitting there going like, yeah, hey, let's trade away my quarterback. Or you say, you play a game of chicken and you say, you're not going to play? Fine. Sit. See how that goes for you.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's welcome in Brandon Whedon. Of course, he started at quarterback for the Browns. He started quarterback for the Cowboys and the Texans. He joins us every week, and he does a great job breaking down situations. Of course, he was Deshaun Watson's backup. When Deshaun got hurt, he got the start. Okay, so you told us before that Deshaun ain't playing in Houston anymore, you don't think. He reiterated that to David Culley. Now you get Russell Wilson saying, hey, I'm not demanding to be traded, but here's four teams that I would accept a trade to. What are your thoughts on the situation in Seattle?
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, just now saw that. You know, he's got the no trade clause, which, you know, obviously he can control. He's got kind of all, he's, you know, the deck is kind of on his side. But, you know, I don't know if the numbers make sense. I mean, the cap hit that they would take as a team. I mean, their head coach is, you know, one of the older head coaches in the NFL, and so I don't really see him wanting to start over at quarterback. I'd be shocked if he moves on. I really do. I think that, you know, that there may be a little bit of a negotiating tactic maybe to say, hey, listen, man, you know, I'm going into year 10 or 11, whatever he's going into. I'm kind of in the prime of my career. I'm playing good football. I need X, Y, and Z tools, whether it be offensive line, you know, position players or whatever, and just kind of giving him more say. And like I said, I think that's kind of the new thing in the NFL, right? Everybody's just, you know, players are, they have a little bit more say, or they want to have a little bit more say, I should say. But yeah, I personally honestly don't see him going anywhere just because of the cap hit. I don't think that Seattle can afford to make that move.
I agree with you, which is why you're like, why would Houston make the move with Deshaun Watson? Same thing.
Yeah, I know. And I don't know what his cap hit is. I just saw Russell's numbers, and it was crazy.
It's crazy.
I'm not sure what Deshaun – yeah, it's, I mean, it's like, what, $39 million or something wild. But, yeah, you know, I don't know. The situation in Houston is just so – it's so different. You know, Seattle's got a good – they got good structure. They got a good nucleus of what they want to do. They have a plan. They're all on the same page, it seems like. Obviously, this is the first really ruffling they've ever had up there. I mean, he's – been in pretty good terms with everybody. It's all been pretty, you know, like roses. I mean, you know, Pete Carroll's got a lot of control, and everybody likes playing for Pete and the whole deal. I would say it's complete opposite in Houston. I mean, it's an absolute dumpster fire, and you know, Deshaun.
Okay, so help us out. Okay, you've told us that before. What, is it the Jack Easterby thing? And if so, like what is it? Like what makes it such a? And you've been in three different organizations. You've been in Cleveland, which was seen as a dumpster fire, not as much when you were there, right? Two different coaches in 2 years. You've been in Dallas. Like, what about that organization is different?
Well, it's changed a lot. You know, I think whenever Bill O'Brien got all the power that he did, you know, being the GM, being the head coach, being the offensive coordinator, they kind of went all in. And then, you know, they hire Jack Easterby. And I'm just kind of reading between the lines and kind of just you know, the people I talk to just kind of casually, he's got that thing turned upside down. I don't think anybody in the building really trusts him except for, it sounds like, the owner. And if you're him, that's really the only guy that matters, because, you know, now he's got all the power to do kind of what he wants to do and run the program. And I don't mean this as a slight, but, you know, his role in New England had nothing to do with personnel. I mean, he was essentially a life coach. And then now he's running a billion-dollar corporation with no experience. I mean, I don't know. Me and you aren't the smartest guys in the world, but to me, that doesn't seem like the right recipe to put together a roster to go out and compete. And
I agree with you. I would say, though, that, like, if we're fair, he hires a GM who is a coveted GM who does know what he's doing, right? Which is, the if you're running something and you don't know what you're doing, you hire somebody who does know what they're doing. Like, doesn't that give you a little grace? Like, what is it about him that turns Deshaun Watson off so much that he is sticking his feet in the ground saying, I don't want to play for this guy?
Yeah, that I don't know. I mean, I've talked to Sean a little bit. We haven't talked about that. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I know he hired Nick Serio or whatever his name is. That obviously was thought of as a pretty good hire, but it's pretty evident that Jack Easterby has a ton of power still, and maybe, you know, in my opinion, too much power. For guys like J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson to become disgruntled, it's got to be pretty damn bad. And I know those guys extremely well. I was probably closer to those two guys and probably anybody on the roster. And for those two guys to be disgruntled and one out, man, it's probably – I mean, Easterby is obviously a large part of it, but there's got to be some other stuff going on without the organization. You got – you know, they fired Mike Parson, the longtime equipment guy that everybody loved, was a great guy, did a phenomenal job. Their PR department, they fired them, which they did an unbelievable job. I mean, they've burned some bridges and they fired some people that, in my opinion, have kind of been the nucleus of that organization. They want to start over. They want to do it the Patriot way. Well, guess what? They don't have Bill Belichick in that building, and that's just a fact. And I know they want to try to do it that way, but, you know, everybody that leaves New England thinks they can do it the Patriot way. You can't. You can't do it. And right now, I think Houston's just they're in a pickle, and obviously their star franchise quarterback's pissed off, and he wants out. And I think either he gets out or he's not going to play. I truly believe that.
It's interesting you bring out the Patriot thing, and that's fascinating. You know, the Spurs have had kind of something similar there, right? Where now Budenholzer had some success in the regular season in Atlanta. It hasn't been, and he has regular season success in Milwaukee, but not long-term success. Ironically, Sean Marks had a plan when he was in Brooklyn. That plan obviously changed when they got Kyrie Irving and then Kevin Durant, and now very different with James Harden. But it's interesting. You know, so many times we want to recreate the magic of a place, and it's just really, really hard. It's nearly impossible to recreate what happened somewhere else. Brandon Whedon's our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, we're getting ready for the draft, and you have Trevor Lawrence going one, and it feels like Zach Wilson's going to be the second quarterback taken. Have you seen him play?
Yeah, I've seen a couple games. Maybe two or three. You know, I'm trying to think what games it were. I can't even remember, but I mean, the guy's got some game, man. He's got some moxie. I mean, it sucks. You know, let's say he goes to the Jets, whatever. Then they decide to deal Darnold. I mean, it's still going to be tough for him to succeed, especially early. I mean, you know, that's the one negative about being drafted that early is your team suck. And they've been bad for a long time, and so you got to come in there and try to turn that thing around. But I think he's a really good player. I mean, he's got a lot of hype around him. The guy's got unbelievable arm talent. He's got some, they're not the same player, but he's got some of that arm talent kind of like Mahomes has got. You know, he's got some funky release angles and can kind of do some things on the run that are pretty good. He's an athletic guy. You can tell he's pretty gritty. So, yeah, I think he's a special talent. I expect him to be probably the second or third pick. And sounds like there's going to be quite a few quarterbacks going inside that top 10.
What is it like to change franchises? Like what do you remember? And obviously you went from one as a starter to a backup in Dallas and ultimately became a starter when Tony got hurt. But what is it like to change franchises as we're seeing so many of these guys? Some go from starters to backup like Mariota. Like, you know, Mariota got more opportunity than you did, but kind of similar thing happened with Jameis Winston. But you also have guys, you know, you look at the Detroit-LA swap. You know, Goff has probably 1 year to prove himself, but he's going from organization to organization. What's that like to actually experience it?
You know, I think, you know, my situation, I'll speak on it. I mean, when I was in Cleveland, it was a dumpster fire. I mean, I think we were on our third head coach coming in. I think third GM in 3 years. I mean, it was a rough organization. The culture was awful. And the culture in the NFL is kind of, you know, the teams that can create a culture like that, usually it's by winning, are the teams that obviously have success. Well, you know, I was going from Cleveland, which in my opinion, probably 31st in the league as far as, you know, that team that year, you know, to the Dallas Cowboys, which arguably has one of the better cultures with, at the time, you know, with what they had going on with Jason Garrett and everybody else. They had a lot of veteran players and veteran coaches.
So when people say culture, from your experience, like give me an example of why the culture was good in Dallas. What about the culture was good?
The culture was good because it was how do I say this? You know, you had Jason Garrett, you know, Jerry Jones, and in most situations, I wouldn't say in Dallas because that's it's a unique situation. But most situations, there's not 50 cooks in the kitchen. You know, there's usually two or three guys making some decisions. You know, they trust the head coach. The head coach goes out and controls the 53 guys on the roster, and they do the deal. Dallas is obviously a little bit different. He's always there. He's overseeing everything, and it's a little different. But at the same time, yeah, guys like Jason Witten had been there for 14, 15 years. Tony Romo, Tyron Smith, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin. I mean, guys that have played together for a long time. You know, they weren't cycling through player after player. Sean Lee, Barry Church. I mean, there was Brandon Carr. There was several guys. So, you know, we're talking guys that are 8, 9, 10 plus years in their careers. So they've been together. They've been around, and they're not a bunch of young players. So they create a culture that, you know, one, you like to show up to work every day. Two, it's all business. I mean, we're here to work. It's our job. We show up. They show you how to work. You got to be there 35 seconds to see Jason Witten go out there and work, and you're like, okay, that's the way it's supposed to be done. And, you know, a lot of that's created more so by the veteran players. I think the NFL is, you know, the head coach obviously gets a lot of criticism and a lot of praise, but, you know, it's all on the players, and especially the veteran players that go out and kind of create that culture and that winning culture. So Dallas had that. Cleveland, we obviously didn't.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's circle back to that Russell Wilson. Look, he didn't play well down the stretch, and I will grant you that they've had issues with their line and issues with the health of their running back, but he also makes a crazy, you know, there was a time when he had the biggest contract in the history of the sport, and they made the, like, I think the thing is, it helps Deshaun Watson now because they were so bad this year. The year before, they made the playoffs, and they had the 24-0 lead against Kansas City. And, you know, I know he never got any of the blame. Some of it does fall on, you're still the quarterback. You got to score some points. There's no perfect scenario with Russell Wilson. I guess he has the right to be, to want a better offensive line. But, you know, his contract and his style of play is part of it, isn't it?
It is. It is. I mean, he holds the ball and he gets out of the pocket. And, you know, sometimes that creates sacks when the numbers don't look good and he's taking hits that he probably shouldn't take. There's no doubt. I mean, that's part of the deal. You know, I'd have to go up and down the roster. I mean, you know, you look at, I mean, Tyler Lockett's obviously a very special talent. You know, DK Metcalf, obviously a very special talent. You know, so he's got some nice weapons there. I don't know. I'm kind of reading between it, and it almost seems like there's more to it. You know, I don't know. I don't know why.
Gotta be, right?
Like, yeah, cause I don't know why a quarterback would, you know, be this disgruntled, get it out to the media, you know, and that's another thing. And, you know, there's agents involved and there's all kinds of things. You know, maybe the agent says, you know, gets it to the media just to kind of, you know, stir up a little firestorm. Let's see if there's other teams out there. See if we can create a market or whatever it may be. I don't know. It's kind of a unique situation. You never really see a player step forward and really let all the details out, especially a player of Russell Wilson's caliber. And you know, he's a superstar in that league. So yeah, I feel like there's gotta be something else there. And I don't know what it is, obviously. I don't know. It's not all adding up for me. I'm sure more and more will come out as time goes on. But for a player to storm out of a room and, you know, be disgruntled because they don't want to upgrade their offensive line, it just seems like there's got to be more there.
Night before a game, and they're putting in the game plan and they're meeting, right? Have you ever seen it? You played three different teams. Quarterback ever get up and walk out?
I've never seen it. No, I've never seen it. Yeah, that's not the time and place, in my opinion. You're about to go play a game and you prepared all week. Two, and I was around. I joke, and I've been with Tony for 2 years. Everybody joked there. Everybody jokes around, you know, the league. The pecking order in Dallas was Jerry Jones, Tony Romo, Jason Garrett, you know, Stephen Jones, Jason Garrett. Tony had more control probably than any other quarterback in the history, maybe probably more than Tom even. Of, you know, his say mattered. Jerry trusted him and all that. Even he didn't. You know, you never saw him get disgruntled. You never saw it. He handled it the right way. But no, to answer your question, I can't say that I've ever seen it.
Interesting stuff. B, great stuff today. I mean, incredible insight into these situations. We really appreciate you joining us.
You got it, buddy.
Talk. All right, it's Brandon Whedon joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. By the way, Brandon, in addition to being a former professional baseball player, he's also a stick in golf. I mean, that dude, I could have gone on and on about Tiger with him. It's Doug Gottlieb Show live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call 888-FARMERS to switch, and you can save a bundle on your auto insurance.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Call 1-888-FARMERS, and you could save on your auto insurance. It's better than using your phone to see if your post got any likes again. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Underwritten by Farmers Truck Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, live from the Farmers Insurance Fox Sports Radio studios. Call Farmers today for a quote, 1-888-FARMERS. Oh, what? Let's go into the box and open that up and let's play a game.
This is Game Time.
Game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Beyer, what's the game?
Doug, it is Thursday, and you know what that means.
Ooh. I feel a draft.
Two-round draft, 8 picks in all. The draftees will be, and this is the order. Wow, technical producer John Ramos gets the first pick. And what do you know, Doug, you will pick second in this draft. Gavin Kinzel, our executive producer, will draft third. I will be the swing picks at 4 and 5 as we snake back. It's kind of an open sort of topic today as we draft the college basketball uniforms that you'd want to wear. Now, I do have to clarify some things, Doug. First of all, Oklahoma State and Notre Dame are not allowed to be used in this draft. You wore those uniforms, so they're just not allowed to be used in this draft. The second part is this could be a variety of things. Could be how you look in the uniform, if you like the style of the uniform, if you like the tradition of the team, if you like the school, a lot of different ways, but I want to hear the reasons at least behind choosing it so we can clarify from that reason. So, all right, John Ramos, you're on the clock. College basketball uniform you'd like to wear.
Well, I don't want to take Tulane because I think Doug's going to take that team, number two. So I'm going to take North Carolina.
Ooh. Oh, that's the only number one.
Yeah, baby.
Argyle down the side, powder blue and white, Michael Jordan logo.
You
like,
got it. You got it, Doug.
There is no, yes, everything else is a step back. That's a good call.
Man, that's. I thought, Doug, you were maybe going to try to trade up, but alas, just did not work. I don't know if John would have even traded.
I frankly thought John would butcher it.
I'm excited that Doug actually was great pick, John. That's exciting.
Wait till the second round, John.
I'm a traditionalist, right? I have other options. There are other schools that I really like their uniforms. But I grew up as a fan of UCLA. My parents were season ticket holders. My sister was the cheerleader there. My brother holds a degree from UCLA. I'm a big fan of UCLA's uniform. The simplicity of what they do with the UCLA, what they do with the basketball court, how it works. The colors, they also have powder blue and gold. Perfect colors, perfect uniform. They've kept them fairly traditional for the most part. I'm going to go UCLA too.
Wow. And I think you may have just taken Gavin Kinzel, our executive producer's pick at number three. Is that true, Gavin?
Two. Yeah, the top two was North Carolina and UCLA for me. So, look, it's a college uniform question, so let's just go Oregon.
Oh, Oregon. All right. New, stylish. A lot of different varieties that you could go with Oregon. I did not expect Oregon to be off the board at this point, but now that Gavin says it, why not go to a place where things could be creative? All right. I've got two picks here, and I'm just going based off of tradition and based off of just of what that name across the front means. You got to go Duke at number four. I mean, just to wear the Duke uniform. And you know what? And I know it's the same color, but I'm going to go Kentucky at five. Just another blue blood. There may be some that I think are maybe a bit more fashionable, Doug, but let's be honest. I don't look good in a tank top, so we'll go with the traditions with Duke and Kentucky.
I love Duke.
All right, Gavin, you're back at number six.
There are still more blue bloods out there. I'm going to stay away. I'm going to go San Diego State. The black makes me think of Kawhi Leonard back in the day. I'm going to go San Diego State Aztecs.
Well, I have the San Diego State game tonight. I'll be interested to see what they won't wear the black ones at home. They also have some the really good teams have some really cool uniforms. They have things on them you don't necessarily see. Like they have the some Aztec stuff and the Montezuma stuff on there. It's really, really cool. But yeah, you guys missed a bunch.
We missed a bunch. All right.
A bunch. Yeah.
Doug, what do you got at 7?
I'm going to go Illinois Flying Illini throwback.
Oh, yeah.
The orange ones they've been wearing this year. Those are just clean. Those are clean. I mean, I have a bunch of other choices.
Yeah.
It's a hard one. Like, there's one other one in the Big Ten, which is close, but they're not currently wearing. I don't think they're wearing the exact ones. Michigan's right there. And frankly, Ohio State with the script Buckeyes is right there.
Yeah,
well.
That's what I was going to say. The cursive Buckeyes, especially in the red road uniforms. Yes. Those look. Yes. I'm actually partial to the gray Ohio State Jim Jackson ones.
Also throwbacks, the Jay Burson and Jim Jackson throwbacks. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. But I went with tradition. All right, John Ramos.
Well, for me growing up, I would say these two teams would be the ones that I would choose. But I'm going to pick one of them. You got to take Patrick Ewing's Georgetown.
Oh, yes.
With the undershirt and all that stuff. So I love Georgetown's uniforms. The gray, they had the blue ones, I think, as well. So
they had the blue ones early in his career. They had the blue ones, and then they worked their way to kind of like black with the gray. Yeah.
Yeah. So Georgetown's my pick.
All right. And that's game time.
I'd
like to do like four more rounds of that.
I could do this forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever do this, Dan, where I used to know every nickname to every college basketball team?
Yeah, for a while. Yeah, when I was younger, yeah, that was the big thing. But I'd probably fail miserably now.
Wichita State,
Shockers.
Houston,
Cougars.
Memphis,
Tigers.
SMU,
Mustangs.
Cincinnati,
Bearcats.
Tulsa,
Golden Hurricane.
Central Florida.
Knights.
South Florida.
Bulls.
Tulane.
Green Wave.
Temple.
Owls.
East Carolina.
Pirates.
All right, you got the Mountain. You got the Atlanta.
All right.
You got the AAC.
Fire.
St. Bonaventure.
The Bonnies.
VCU.
Rams.
Richmond.
Spiders.
Spiders, yeah. UMass.
Minutemen.
Davidson.
Wildcats.
George Mason.
The Patriots.
Dayton.
Flyers.
St. Louis.
Billikens.
Duquesne.
Duquesne Dukes.
Rhode Island.
Rams.
This is Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.